you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
Dalton is in empty. Here's the snap. Pocket holds. Andy fires downfield. 1-6. Touchdown. End zone. Center cut. Deontay Johnson.
Just a super confident throw by Andy Dalton right here.
Yeah, it'd be fun to be back. You know, for me, I think the biggest thing is Chicago is one of the teams that I haven't beaten in my career. There's only a couple of them. I think there's three left, and unfortunately one of them is the Carolina Panthers, so I'm not going to be able to do that. But, yeah, Chicago and Dallas, another team that I played for, is another one that I haven't beat. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the bigger thing. I've got friends and people that are there that are going to come to the game, and so it'll be fun to see those guys. But, I enjoyed my time in Chicago. It would be fun to be back there.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
That's right. Andy Dalton is going to take on the Bears. He's now the Carolina Panthers' starting quarterback. We'll see for how long that's going to be. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Jason Leisure is sitting in for Matt Spiegel. If you're just jumping into the Twitch, he's here. He's rocking his Mariners cap. And he apparently got the memo about navy blue and white t-shirt underneath.
It's a good look for fall.
It is a good look for fall. I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that we got to get to with you specifically, especially since you just made it back from Halas Hall. But let's talk about the Panthers first, because our guest Chris McClain from Mac and Bone on WFNZ in Charlotte is here to discuss how all of this got the way that it is. Chris, thanks for joining us here on The Score.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Oh, not a lot. There seems to be a lot going on with your franchise. I'd love to know, what have the last 4 weeks been like in Charlotte?
The first two of those 4 weeks were horrendous, embarrassing. Somehow the Panthers got worse from the 2-15 season. Somehow Bryce Young got worse from a rookie year that was statistically one of the worst of all time for a high first-round draft pick. So those first 2 weeks were not fun at all. I have to admit, I was shocked that, you know, a coach who is the quarterback whisperer, right, that was brought here, we thought, to fix Bryce Young, I was shocked that he benched him that quickly and kind of gave up on him, at least for the time being, that quickly. But I'll be damned if we're not just happy right now that we are playing competent offensive football for the first time in a long time with Andy Dalton. So I think right now we're just kind of enjoying the fact that it's been competitive. The offense has not looked like a peewee football offense. It is not the start to the season that we hoped for Bryce Young. Those first 2 weeks were ugly, man.
Chris, the offense not looking like a peewee offense is a low bar to clear.
It is.
So I don't know if you guys should plan the parade route in Charlotte quite yet, but how much of a realization is there? You look at the Panthers, they're awful. They're going toward their seventh straight losing season. The Bears are unproven. Like, they haven't gotten anywhere yet, but they appear to be headed the right direction. How much conscientiousness is there with the Panthers in their building of the fact that everything that is going right for the Bears right now could have been theirs?
I mean, I'm sure they know. I'm sure they see what has happened with this trade, and where the Bears drafted because of this trade. But I don't necessarily think Dave Canales is worried about that. You know, it's a new regime. Even Dan Morgan, who was the assistant GM at the time, he's now calling the shots. He's done a hell of a job improving this offensive line, bringing in a couple of guards, paying $150 million for a couple of guards. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver is a gazillion times better than anything that was on the team last year. They're running the ball pretty well with Chuba Hubbard. So I do think there's progress here. I just think there's that problem that we might have made the worst or one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL. And y'all have sent us Christmas cards for that. But I do think there is some progress being made here in terms of trying to build this organization the right way. But I don't expect anybody outside of Charlotte to see that progress. You know what I mean? They got to do a little more than two decent weeks, you know?
I'm pretty sure when a 312 area code pops up on the phones in that office, they kick that to voicemail. We're not taking that call.
I was just glad to hear Spiegel wasn't on the damn show. Last time I came on with you guys, wow, he had so many damn jokes about the trade, about Bryce. So I was so glad to hear that he is off today. Beautiful timing.
So look, I am a graduate of the University of Alabama, so I'm not going to rail against Bryce Young for what has happened. I would love to know, though, from your perspective, when you're watching him, what have you figured out was his fault and what wasn't his fault?
Yeah, it's interesting because last year I was on the side of, and I think a lot of people were nationally too, you know, talking heads and stuff and the analysts. I was on the side of, holy crap, they have dropped him in to a horrendous situation. I mean, and I still believe that. The offensive line was a real mess last year. Frank Reich and the coaching staff. I mean, you had guys going to ownership behind each other's backs, trying to get the owner to intervene in how you coach Bryce Young's footwork. I mean, it was a train wreck, and I don't know if any quarterback – I know no quarterback could have thrived. I'm sure C.J. Stroud would have been better, but I'm not sure how good he would have been. So last year, I stood up for Bryce, and I kind of thought, okay, if Dave Canales is can be the guy that got stuff out of Geno Smith and turned around the career of Geno and Baker, turned that career back around, and you've got an offensive line you addressed, and you went out and you got Deontay Johnson and Xavier Leggett, as wide receivers, I kind of thought, okay, now we're going to see a better Bryce. Again, when we saw how shell shocked and jittery he looked in the pocket in those first two games, it was like he still has like some form of PTSD from all the hits and the 62 sacks he took in the first year. It's like David Carr syndrome or something. So I really had defended Bryce, but those first two games, I mean, the way he was playing was worse than at any point last year. And Andy Dalton has proved in 2 weeks, crap, look at the offensive line. There is time to throw. Look at the receivers. There are guys that are making plays, and there's guys getting separation that didn't get last year. The offense appears to be able to function, where last year we questioned the offense. So it's been a drastic change for me in terms of the way I look at it this year. I don't know if Bryce is going to get another chance. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon because I think they want to be able to kind of evaluate the roster. They couldn't even evaluate the roster with Bryce. He was either dropping back, feeling pressure that wasn't there and fleeing the pocket, or the second week it was check downs immediately and not even looking at your progression. So it was impossible to even see if we had anything that was improved, you know?
But see, Chris, I'm of the belief that he's probably a really good player. I'm at this point with Carolina where they, for me, are the disaster franchise of the NFL. The way you look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Seahawks, and you say those teams do it all right, those teams are going to get the most out of anybody they bring in, whether it's a draft pick or signing. Carolina's the opposite for me, where I can't judge anybody on what they do in Carolina. I can't judge Frank Reich off of that. I mean, you're going to throw that on one side of the ledger, and on the other side of the ledger, offensive coordinator for a champion team, a winning record as a head coach, Bryce Young, like best prospect in that draft as a prospect at the time, then has already been benched two games into the season. You know, I don't know how you can evaluate anybody in the mess and the dysfunction that's been in there. And I suspect what the problem is now with Bryce Young is they should trade him. There's probably teams that would want him. I keep wondering why Miami hasn't come calling for Bryce Young. But I bet anything that Tepper is sitting there not wanting to get a sixth round pick in return for him or something, because he wants to try to save face on a terrible draft pick that he meddled in and forced.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to argue when you tell me that our franchise has been a disaster, our owner's been horrible, we got the worst record in the league since he took over. That would be like if someone told me I had a face for radio. I got a mirror. You know what I mean? I can see that. I understand what
right,
we
I'll,
have
I'll
been.
Refrain from telling you the obvious, then. That's always been the book on the team here, and it's helpful to see some perspective now and say, oh, it could be worse. Like, you could say whatever you want about George McCaskey, but he's not doing this.
Like, so it's a mess. We have been livid. I mean, when you have an owner that is meddling and, you know what I mean, self-sabotaging an organization, I mean, you have no chance. So it's been a nightmare, and that's the fear, is that the owner never figures it out, never realizes, I got to hire the football guys and let them do the job. What I'm saying is the last 2 weeks, Andy Dalton has been able to succeed. It's been night and day. And the players' energy in the locker room and the things that they say, I mean, you could tell the players were defeated. Bryce Young was playing quarterback at such a low level that, like, you could see it on players' face. First of all, you saw it on Bryce's face.
Yeah.
He looked like, he was carrying
the world on that giant backpack that he carries.
That's right. He had the whole world inside that dang thing, and it was hurting his back. So, I mean, I think now they look like a competent football team for the last 2 weeks. I think you guys would have much rather played against Bryce Young, is all I'm saying. Am I saying we're going to roll in there and win? No, I think they've got a chance to do it. I think if they had Bryce Young in there, I think the Bears would beat them by 24 points. I mean, it was that horrible in weeks one and two.
The balance of having an owner that cares versus having an owner that meddles, it's so delicate. Like, it's so, because I mean, there's so many fan bases. They're like, man, I wish my owner would care enough to get involved when things are going bad. When you guys talk about this stuff, like, kind of, how does it feel to discuss it? Because there is a part that you go, of course you want a hobbyist owner to care about the thing that he's putting on the field.
That is true. I mean, I've always felt like, because some fans will say, well, he doesn't care if we win. He just wants to make money. And it's like, he's got $20 billion. Does he want to make more? Yeah, that's how people get $20 billion, right? They want to, at every opportunity, they want to make money. But I believe he wants to win badly. And I do think that's part of the problem. I think it's the classic case of this guy's a type A personality, a guy that succeeded in life in other endeavors, right? Hedge fund business and stuff like that. And I just think he feels like, I want to win so badly, and I've won in life because of all the moves I've made. So let me get my hands on these things, and I can easily turn it around. I just think he's one of those owners that underestimates that football is a completely different world than the business world. And you've got to – and then the hires he made, too, the Matt Rhule hire, gave him $63 million, made him a top five highest-paid coach in the league for a guy that had 1 year of assistant experience in the NFL. The GM hire of Scott Fitterer blew up badly. So it's just – there's no doubt. Like, I will always say he's trying, he wants to win, but you just nailed it. Like, that ain't good enough, right? Like, that's a starting point, but at some point he's got to make better hires. I mean, we are early on. I'm hoping that these early signs are showing that Canales and Dan Morgan, the GM, are good hires for a change. But again, he's got to not meddle. And if this team loses the next five games and they get to 1-6, like, he's got to resist temptation to try to intervene. So I feel like it's headed on the right path, but by no means do I trust that David Tepper is going to keep those dang hands out of the football operation. Like, that's something that he's got to prove for a while here. And it's terrible, man. The worst thing in sports, y'all know this, is when you have an owner that is bad, and an owner that's the problem. Everybody else you can get rid of. It's like, yeah, we got
right.
People texting.
He seems like a fun dude,
fans.
At least, though.
we got fans that text in and say, this Tepper is horrible. How do we get rid of him? And it's like, unless I can plant some sort of evidence of him doing something nefarious and get an NFL scandal going and get him, like, there's no way to fire the owner. I mean, some fans are hoping you could fire an owner, and I got nothing for him.
Although, I mean, you guys kind of did, though, before.
That was for... Let's not walk back over.
I know, but like, I'm just saying. Chris knows people. He can make some stuff happen.
That's it. We have to find him doing some Jerry Richardson type stuff.
The way you do it, though,
I think that's your only hope.
The way you do it is something that I could never imagine David Tepper doing. The way you do it is what happened here with the Bears, where people have always ranted for you. I wish the McCaskies would sell the team. That's not going to happen.
No.
But what they did was they hired a president, Kevin Warren, from the outside, and they gave him total control. The family owns the team, the family makes the money, but Kevin Warren runs the Bears. That's as close as you're going to get to that team being sold. That takes humility to do that. That's not something I think David Tepper is going to do. And this is where it's really interesting to me with Ryan Poles being bypassed for that open GM job back in 2021, Lawrence, where it's like so often in life, you don't get what you want. And it's for your own good, because he described that as a thudding disappointment. And think about how incremental and slow the rebuild has been here. It's been maddeningly slow. That 2022 season was a complete waste. Total burn it down, 3-14, then very conservative, very careful spending in free agency, protecting all of the future assets, not boxing yourself in financially. How do you think that's going over with David Tepper if Ryan Poles gets that job back in 2021?
Probably not.
It ain't happening.
By the way, you brought up humility and David Tepper. That is definitely something that I'm not sure the man will ever have, for God's sakes. My goodness. Just an ounce of it. If we can give him an ounce of it, I'd take it.
Well, you don't have to be humble if you know everything. I mean, like, Bill Belichick didn't have to be humble. Don Shula didn't have to be humble. But if you happen to not know everything about how to put a team together in a personnel department, then that might be a good time to show some humility.
Chris,
guys, it's humble. Some of the stuff that Tepper's done too, in turn, because you just nailed it. It's like, for example, he owns the MLS team, Charlotte FC. By the way, we put four goals on the Chicago Fire. So who the hell has bragging rights now?
Damn
right.
4-3
First time hearing of that team. So
I know that's upset your listeners greatly.
Didn't know anyway. That was the thing until now. Let me get that in my notes. Charlotte, what? Yeah, what are they called?
I just broke news to y'all what happened last night. But anyway, he doesn't meddle with the soccer. The soccer, he lets, you know, Zoran Kroneta, who is the, you know, head of the football department, run it, and he doesn't meddle with it. You know why? Because he knows he doesn't know crap about soccer. What's he going to tell the organization to do? There's a striker playing over there in Slovakia that they should add in a transfer window. Like, he concedes, I don't know anything about it. But with football, he was a minority owner with the Steelers. He grew up in Pittsburgh, a Steeler fan. He was a minority owner with the Steelers. Well, he also was part of a minority ownership group that tried to get Mike Tomlin fired when he was there. He won't tell you about that. So it's like, the problem is what you just said, the fact he thinks he knows football. And at some point, hopefully it'll dawn on him. I mean, he came in, and one of the first things he did is told Ron Rivera, right, a guy that's been a great defensive coordinator in this league, great defensive mind, was a great head coach before Tepper got here. He came in and told Ron Rivera, you're switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense, because that's what we did in Pittsburgh. Like, it's unbelievable.
How's everyone doing down there? How are you doing, Chris? Because I know Helene has caused problems for everybody.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Charlotte's doing good. We got off pretty easy. But if you go, you know, two and a half hours away to the mountains, Asheville and Boone, it's a wasteland. I mean, it's so sad. There are small towns that have been wiped out completely, neighborhoods that have been wiped out completely. Virginia, real bad in certain areas of Virginia, East Tennessee. I mean, it's usually when you get a storm like that, you know, you don't expect the mountains four hours inland to get devastated like that. I mean, it's in shock what happened to them. They got so much rain there. It's destructive. I mean, they're going to be trying to rebuild that area for years, man. It's really sad. And we got a lot of listeners that have family members there. I mean, hell, we got texts this week from folks that said they still hadn't heard, trying to make contact with their parents or aunts and uncles. And it had been like 5 or 6 days, and they still hadn't heard from them. Search parties are still going on. So, man, it really got destroyed there. And, It's been tough to see what they went through, no doubt about it.
We appreciate you sharing that, and know that I know it seems trivial because of what it is that we do for a living, but know that what you guys are doing is offering some comfort to people, some normalcy to people, and they love hearing you. So don't ever change, man. And we appreciate you jumping on and telling us what's happening down there.
No, you got it. Thanks for asking, guys. Appreciate that. And I hope I did not ruin the mood of the Windy City now that I've informed you that Charlotte FC beat the Fire 4-3. I hope you guys are okay.
Jason had never heard of that team before you even said something. Chris, stay well, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys, be good. And tell Spiegel I was happy he wasn't there, all right?
Oh, we got that. You said that twice.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah. We're going to play it for him. We're not even going to tell him. We're going to play it for him that you are happy that he's not here. That is great.
He wasn't, like, glad to have me, but he was glad to not have Matt.
Yeah, that is rough sledding.
No, he told me off the air how much he liked you a lot.
Oh, thanks, Shane. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And there we go.
So, yeah, see?
It's a win-win.
You've come in here, and you've already made fast friends.
And I learned about, what was it called? Charlotte FC.
So football club.
Okay. They don't have a name. It's not like the Charlotte.
That's what they're called.
Cougars or
the they're the Charlotte Observers.
The Charlotte Observers. There we go.
That's what they're doing. And it would probably matter if the Fire could consistently get good, but they can't seem to get right no matter what. And that's problematic.
Have they been good since we had Bastian Schweinsteiger in studio when you were doing nights?
I am so glad that you remember that.
That was like the first big guest that I ever booked as a part-timer. I don't think they've been good since then.
Shane, that was a huge moment. I make the argument that he is on a very short list of the most popular people that have ever been in the Score studio.
Those Germans, man.
Well, I mean, even at the time, like you consider, like, and his wife was here too.
Yeah, she was here too.
We tried
tennis player.
Yeah. We tried to get her on the air, but she was like, "Nah, I don't do your stupid radio show." But Bass just sat here for like 20 minutes and like talked with us, and it was awesome. I got to even like do my German thing, and I was like, I said, "Is it wrong if I pronounce your name Schweinsteiger?" He was like, "No, that's how you actually say it." I was like, "Okay, good,
nice,
yeah."
Do you speak some German?
No, not at all.
Kind of know how to do the accent or the.
But I listen to you listen to games of him scoring goals, and that's what the announcers would say.
Okay,
so he was like, "No, that's it. That's how you say it." He was delightful. He was really, really delightful. That concludes all of our talk about the Chicago Fire for today. Jason Leisure is here. He's just made it back from Hallis Hall. There's a lot for us to discuss. There's some stuff that I want to go through because you're there every day. You're in the locker room. You're talking with these people. There's the Shane Waldron thing, and we're going to play a big chunk of Shane Waldron addressing what I think a lot of Bears fans are curious about. When we play it back, I want to get your thoughts on it. You cool with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Jason Leisure is in for Spiegs. This is Spiegel and Holmes. Back after this, talking Bears on the Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what is.
DJ, as a veteran player, one who knows he's going to be here for a while, is it ever frustrating when it's essentially you've got a new quarterback learning a new system, all that kind of stuff that you have to be patient? Is it ever hard for you to be patient as a veteran player who's just ready to roll?
A little bit, and then it's not, because we was all rookies at one point being a vet. So I know what he's going through. You can't be too frustrated. I mean, you could be frustrated within the way you're playing, like, as a player, but not at a young guy that's still coming along. So, yeah.
That was DJ Moore talking about trying to be on the same page with the quarterback. And that's one of the things that we're going to get into inside of this segment. Jason Leisure is sitting in for Matt Spiegel. Spiegs will be back tomorrow. So throughout all of this stuff with DJ Moore, you were in the room. What's this like?
I also had a really good conversation with DJ after that, after what you played in the hallway. Him and I talked, and this is of particular interest to me. Like, all of the Bears stuff is interesting to me because that's my job. But there are certain things that I connect with on a personal level, and this idea of bad body language or bad facial expressions, I get that a lot. I get that a lot of people think I'm unhappy because of my disposition or something like that. And it's not the case. It's misunderstood. And so I'm very curious talking with DJ Moore about that. And it was a great conversation. I think DJ really understands how he's viewed, what his stature is. He knows that's a bad look. He knows all the pouting and wincing and scowling and whatever word you want to use to describe the glaring, that he knows it doesn't look good. But what he's trying to say is something that I would say, that's how he feels at that moment. That's not who he is. It's okay for DJ Moore to roll his eyes and be annoyed by something that the rookie quarterback four games in doesn't get right. It's not okay for DJ Moore to be, you know, a malcontent in that locker room, like Chase Claypool last year, you know, causing problems for Caleb Williams that go beyond momentary frustration. I don't think that all of the DJ Moore reaction shots that NBC and Fox are cutting to all the time, I don't think that's really telling of what's going on there. I think he really believes in Caleb Williams. I think that they have a good chemistry. There's still work to do, mostly on Caleb Williams' end. DJ Moore at Lawrence. DJ Moore has taken almost 6,000 snaps.
With terrible quarterbacks.
Absolutely, and has produced no matter what. And that, what you just mentioned, the terrible quarterbacks, I was talking to DJ Moore, and I said, you've always played with either inexperienced or bad quarterbacks, right? And he goes, I played with Kyle. And I'm like, Kyle who? He goes, well, Kyle Allen. And I'm like, wait a minute, who? And he goes, yeah, exactly.
Yep. It's the truth.
You have all that history for DJ Moore. There's an accumulation that is not Caleb Williams' fault, but there is an accumulation of having to play with all of these guys who don't get it and all of these rotating play callers in Carolina and then, you know, two play callers in 2 years here between Luke Getsy to Shane Waldron. Like, it's okay to say, man, that's frustrating. It's okay to have that build up and to have at times you feel like, ugh, again. Here we are again with, you know, this play call or this quarterback miss or whatever. That isn't how DJ Moore carries himself. What DJ Moore said is those faces that you see me making in these little clips that go viral on social media, like, it's just a face. After that, I go back to being regular me. That's what he said.
My face is, for the most part, pretty serious. And usually when I'm listening to someone else, it's very intense.
Yeah.
Yesterday, someone got mad at me and said my body language is wrong because I had my arms folded, but I do tapping. It's a way to, like, help with my anxiety.
Okay.
So sometimes when you see my arms folded, it is more about managing my own anxiety than me being like, harumph, harumph, harumph. Yeah. So I get where he's coming from. I also think I could understand if there was frustration that he was feeling, and he says feeling it in that moment. I completely understand that part of it too.
But, like, if I'm at my house and one of my kids dumps apple juice all over, am I not allowed to be like, I don't like this situation. I don't like this outcome that has happened. I mean, that's pretty normal.
Yes.
I'm not allowed to just be, like, angry at my kids and yelling at my kids and forming the opinion then that my kids are idiots over that. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between this being a natural reaction in the moment for DJ Moore and the way he carries himself, which, by the way, this guy has carried himself exceptionally.
True professional.
On and off the field since the day he got there.
I'm totally okay with him him being in these spaces where I said it yesterday. I feel like when you see some of that, it's not because DJ feels like he's got to get his numbers up. I feel like he's bought in on, I'm here to help you win. Let me help you. Let me help you win. We can. I've got ideas on how we can win. That's the vibe that I get from him.
Same, and he wants to do well. If you look back to last year, that was one of the worst passing offenses in the NFL with Justin Fields at quarterback and Luke Getsy at offensive coordinator. DJ Moore was so loyal to Justin Fields, and DJ Moore put up numbers. He was the only one that put up numbers. But DJ Moore had Justin Fields back no matter how badly things were going. And DJ Moore didn't say a peep about Luke Getsy's offense until after the last game. Then he vented.
He let you know.
Even then, he vented very professionally. Reasonably.
Yes.
But he kept a lid on it all the way to the end. This is a really, really good teammate. And it's a really good teammate for Caleb Williams. And pretty sure their contracts run the same years, actually, by the way, because of the extension that DJ just signed. DJ is signed with the Bears through 2029. He's got as much interest in Caleb Williams succeeding as anybody else. And he said multiple times in our conversation yesterday, he's fully confident that Caleb Williams is going to get there.
I want to share this because this is a part of the discussion. Shane Waldron. You've been covering Waldron since he's made his way to the Bears. This is what Shane Waldron had to say about all of the issues on offense. It's a nice, meaty chunk that you, the Bears fan, can take a listen to, and then Jason and I are going to react to it.
Shane, do you expect route options to expand as Caleb Williams progresses and gets more comfortable with NFL defenses?
I think for us, you know, we have a good, core group of plays. And I think each week you start with your core group of plays, understanding those and being really good at what those are. And then each week, if there's a game plan element to those plays, which, you know, might entail more options on a route or, just feeling what the different voids might be in the defense. So I think, again, that's more of a week-to-week game plan type of question. But in terms of, you know, options on routes or things that we have a lot of different things that are built in to the system. And I think with our players and like anything else, the more reps accumulated, the more feel you have for all the different voids and what are the if this happens, then that happens throughout the course of a game.
So you had a lot of success this last week with the underneath passing game, more conservative. How do you strike that balance like going forward? Because everybody wants to see the big passes down the field.
Sure.
With Caleb Williams, and I'm sure the veteran wide receivers, tight ends are getting itchy for that as well. How do you strike that balance with this rookie quarterback?
Yeah, I think for him, Caleb's done a nice job of seeing what the defense presents and taking what the play gives him, right? The week earlier, had a chance to hit Rome down the sideline in an explosive play action, another one on the deep cross, because it was the look that was there. The protection allowed it. And so I think moving forward, it's about not pressing to find big plays, not pressing to find explosives, letting them occur within the context of what the defense is showing each individual snap. You know, I think defenses do a nice job, mixing and matching coverage contours and front structures, more than ever in the league. And so that balance of getting the ball out when it is a deep to short defensive structure, and maybe we had a shot called, just like referencing that drive, it keeps us on pace. And then when those shots are there, just keep doing a good job of being on, being in rhythm. Starts with protection, starts with everything that goes into that, not just the quarterback, receivers, running backs, tight ends, all connected into those plays and being efficient, which will lead to shots down the field.
Where do you think Caleb's made the greatest strides the last couple of weeks?
I think going back to that point, this past week, there was multiple chances here, especially on some of the second and longer situations where, took a nice completion of Rome on a shallow cross where Rome's able to take a 5-yard completion and turn it into a 10-yard gain right there. Another one to Swift, another one to Keenan. So he had different chances there where, along with a couple checkdowns on some play actions, where he did a really good job of staying clean against, whatever defensive front structure was occurring on those plays, getting the ball out of his hand and letting those guys go to work right there. And so then it'll be the next step is, that balance of that versus, when's the time to go down the field with some of the throws.
What have you seen from DJ in terms of trying to get on the same page with Caleb and kind of managing the frustrations when it's not clicking for them?
Yeah, I think for DJ, he's done a great job of that communication aspect of that, being able to, we talked about, like, every great player should want the ball every snap, right? That's part of being at that level, and we want the best for him every single snap. So part of that of, you know, some near misses so far this year is just the communication part, talking through things. There's always going to be some unique looks that present themselves on individual plays, and those are always great to bank those reps because it might come up this week. It might come up, you know, week 17. You never know when the next the chance at that can occur. So I think that's always going to be the constant challenge for every single position on offense is to work through if something happens in a game or if there's a window we're seeing or if there's a front structure that we're seeing, you know, how do we learn from those reps and then move forward knowing that good things happen when DJ has the ball in his hand and we'll continue to.
All right, so obviously you're taking notes while we're listening to that. What stands out to you when you hear Shane talking about some of the issues that the offense has had?
Was that on regular speed?
Yes.
Okay.
He talks that fast. I don't know if you catch that when you're in the room, but yes.
Yeah.
He's a fast talker.
I think a lot of what he's saying is code for, hey, we've got a rookie quarterback. Like this is going to take some time for him to develop for him to understand the kind of nuances of plays like that DJ Moore play that they missed on and to be able to recognize more things and just to be much more proficient in the offense.
Okay. I want to continue this conversation with you. I want to add another element that came up on yesterday's show and get your thoughts on that as well. It's a luxury to have Jason Leisure here in studio coming straight from Halas Hall to talk Bears with us. So we are going to take advantage of it. Stick around. It's Spiegel and Holmes. Jason Leisure here talking Bears with us on The Score. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. I'm Lawrence. Speaks is off today. Jason Leisure was nice enough to come and hang out with us. And we can trade on his work a little bit for the Sun-Times of him covering the Bears because he comes with stuff, things that he thinks are important that quite honestly, like, I love that you get to be in this forum because not that the internet is limited, but space is limited inside of a newspaper and other people that work on the Bears beat are working on things. So you being able to bring us some of this stuff, I think, is really valuable. And it's why I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you. And I'm glad to be here. And Chris McClain, that guy that we had on, was really happy that I was here, apparently.
Yeah, he hates Speaks.
It's two different mediums for me, and I like both of them. One of the things I like so much about writing is it's not live. You don't have to say it perfectly. You can go back. You can write a thought and then be like, that's terrible. That doesn't make sense. Rethink it. Delete it. Do it again. You can't do that here. But what I like here is I talk Bears with you here the way I talk Bears with my friends or my dad or my brother.
Or like you were talking with me during the break.
Yeah, it's just a lot of explaining, a lot of kind of behind the scenes, a lot of just here's what you're seeing on Sundays. Here's what I know about it. And I'm not a football expert. Like, I don't know all of the ins and outs. I mean, it's an incredibly complex game. What I do know is the things that I can find out from people who have a vested interest in it and people that know what's going on.
Okay, so there are a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to determine growth of Caleb Williams. You guys talked about this a little bit. And so we're going to
share. Caleb.
Yeah. We want to share this from the press conference yesterday, and then ask you a question on the other side of it.
Caleb, what have you learned in the NFL about the, through experience here in four games, the value of the underneath game in the NFL, where those are not usually going to be highlight plays, but you were getting 8 yards per play doing that Sunday, for example?
Yeah, I think that was, when I was in college, I think that was a knock on my game. I think everybody wanted to say that I don't take checkdowns and things like that, but, you know, you also have to adapt to the team. You also have to adapt to the situation. You know, it's always a growing and learning process. And I think I've done, you know, I would say a pretty solid job of finding the checkdowns and understanding that game is so huge for us and our offense and, you know, keeping us on the football field. So you know, with me doing that and all of that, I think it's been important for us. I think it's something that I've gotten better with, obviously. And also I know that, you know, when you can steal first downs, which is what checkdowns do, it helps out tremendously, you know, in the long run of the game.
Obviously, you don't want to be only that.
Yes.
There's levels above that. But yep. Do you view that as a key step in building your foundation as a quarterback?
Definitely a key step. To be able to, one, play for a long time, you know, not holding the ball, you know, taking those sacks, finding checkdowns, getting the ball at your hands and letting the guys that you have, I mean, go make plays. You know, that's what, you know, I'm here to do, obviously make plays, but it's obviously – you know, we have 10 other guys on the field to be out there, you know, to be out there with me and make plays. And so being able to get the ball in their hands at, you know, with space, it's a lot of times what teams do with checkdowns. They give that guy space. And so give him the ball, you know, the right shoulder so he can turn, get upfield, split two, get the first down, get as close as you can to possibly even go for it and put yourself in, you know, better advantageous positions.
Why did you think that line of questioning was pertinent to the discussion?
Because I think in part, Lawrence, there is some misunderstanding within at least a segment of the Bears fan base where they're sitting here looking at that game and saying, and maybe saying even before this, oh, look at this. They're ruining him. They're trying to turn him into Mr. Checkdown. Oh, don't turn the ball over. Just play it real safe, real careful. That isn't what's happening. You'd be right to be worried about it if that was it. If Caleb Williams isn't sitting there acknowledging to you, oh, no, there has to be more than that. That is just a step. That is just a building block toward other things.
Yeah, no one wants him to be Brian Hoyer, and I don't think the Bears are asking that to be the ceiling for what it is that he's doing.
Absolutely not. But it is an important step in his development that, for example, Sunday against the Rams, he's 15 of 15 underneath, 10 yards past the line of scrimmage or less, getting 8 yards per play. That is a really good start. If you are looking at Aaron Rodgers, for example, his favorite quarterback growing up, that's what he does. It's a lot of underneath. It's like 20 completions underneath and then 3 to 5 big ones. Now, we didn't get both of those. We got all the underneath. We didn't get the big ones on Sunday from Caleb Williams. That's the next level, is to start playing efficiently in the intermediate range, that 10 to 20 yard zone, and then also hitting on some deep plays. But if you look Sunday, in that same time slot, C.J. Stroud is playing against the Jaguars. Tell me if you like this stat line. C.J. Stroud is 27 for 40, 345 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a comeback win.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, really good. You'd love that. 1 completion past 20 yards. Now, that's a little extreme. That's a little extra boring. But that is a lot of how it's played in the NFL.
I think that's what's happening with Jaden Daniels. If you really look at what Jaden Daniels is doing and why defensive players have said he's running a college offense, there's a lot of horizontal. There's a lot of run after catch. There's a lot of people saying that they're not doing right by Terry McLaurin because of some of this. The difference, I think, so far is Daniels has moved horizontally with the pass game, but he's hit 3 or 4 vertical throws that have changed games.
And Caleb's missed a lot. He's either not seen, he's either checked down to Cole Kmet and not seen Rome Odunze over the top, or he's just thrown interceptions, overthrown, a lot of overthrows so far in the first 4 weeks for him. I don't think that that's going to stay that way for him. And when you look at one of his most impressive plays to me, Sunday against the Rams, was the seam route, the deep down the middle to Cole Kmet, which is a perfect exploitation of the short game working, the running game working, play action gets the linebackers to bite, and you throw it over the top of them to an open receiver, and it was perfectly placed. That's the kind of things they're going to be able to do, but he has to establish this. He has to establish this short game, then become pretty efficient in the intermediate game, and then hit on some deep shots. And I can tell you, they are not coaching this guy to be careful. And why would you, if you look at what he can do? Not just what you saw him do in college, but then what you see him do in training camp and in preseason games. You know he has got that ability. And I think my favorite thing that I've heard anybody say at Hallis Hall this year was Thomas Brown. We were talking about Carolina. We're talking about how I can't judge anything about Thomas Brown's career based on what he did in Carolina. But the point he made was, like, if he doesn't take chances, he's never going to make any plays. We want him to take some chances. We want him to make plays. He's got to do this first and then that.
I'm with him on the idea of Caleb taking some chances. We're not done with that conversation. We're also not done with a Bears report because Mark Grody's going to join us. He's going to bring us some sound from Halas Hall. Jason's going to react to it. I'm going to react to it, and you're going to react to it. More Bears conversation, a Bears hit, two words with Mark Grody next here on The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.